We've been talking about Jesus at the table, and the scripture this morning is one more scene of Jesus at the table, and this is from Luke 14, and so just give you a little background. Jesus was invited to the home of a Pharisee. Last week we talked about Simon the Pharisee. This is a different Pharisee. So he's at this home, and he asked them, and it was the Sabbath. So it was the time of celebration, being with family, but there were rules about not working on the Sabbath. So we got the Sabbath, and Jesus says to them in the middle of the meal, points to a man that has some swelling, some edema, and he said, is it right for me to heal this man? And they were silent. And so he did. He healed him. Their silence continued, and so he looked around the room, and he'd noticed that when people came in, they tried to get the best seats, the seats at the head of the table nearest the host. You know how you go in and you go into a place and you say, okay, which table's going to be served first? Yeah, I'll go sit there. Yeah, that's the best seat. That's the most comfortable. That's by the window. I need the breeze from the window. You get those seats. Well, he saw that. He started talking to people about humility. And in the end, he gave them one more story. And it was about this banquet. And as he described it, he said, this is like the reign of God. This is like the kingdom of God. Through this month, we've been talking about being at the table of Jesus. So we've talked about some different ways that Jesus appears at the table. He's the healer at the table. He's the one who doesn't care who's on the guest list. In fact, bring them all. He doesn't mind. He's also, as we learned, that when Jesus is at the table, there's this like fragrance of forgiveness and mercy lifted up in powerful ways. And so we've come to appreciate the table of Jesus Christ. But we've also learned this, that Christ's table is here and now. This is the church, and the church is Christ's table. It's bigger than this communion table. It's all of us together sitting elbow to elbow in care and concern for others, but always leaving a few chairs open for a few more people to come. That's what the table is about. And so Jesus told a story. And I love his parables. Now, when you do a parable, it's kind of tempting to make it into, I'm going to use the fancy English term here, allegory, which means that each piece has some kind of meaning. That's not, I think, what happens here. We might also be tempted to use it as a metaphor for God and see God as the host of the banquet. But what I'd like you to do is just think of kind of the bigger idea that Jesus is offering in this story, this parable of a great banquet. And so here's how it goes. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who was invited will get to taste at my banquet.'" Whew. All righty. So here's the good news. In this story, the banquet's big, the table's wide. The meal's been set, the chair's pulled back, and there is an invitation to those who are friends and those who are connected. And so if we look at this as a lesson, we see that this owner understands hospitality, this owner understands abundance, and that this is a place where there will be room for those who are invited. But unfortunately, we hear that while the food is ready and the table is set, There are those who offer excuses. Now, you may have heard the excuses. One bought property, another one bought some oxen, and the other one got married. But they're a little bit deeper, and if you think about it, they're not very logical, the excuses they give. So, for example, the first person says, I have bought a field, and I must go and see it. Who would do that? Think about that. Who would, I mean, you know, at least you're going to get on Redfin.com, you know, and look at the property before you buy it. And my guess is that you would go get a building inspector and you'd kind of look everything over and then say, well, maybe I'll buy it, but maybe I'll give another price. Who would do this? It's as if the person trusted that his property, his security would be fine without really knowing it. He was trusting in a future that he didn't know, that he couldn't get a hold of. The second person does something similar. This person goes out and buys 5 yoke of oxen. That would be 2 times 5, 10 oxen. People at that time, I mean, they have one animal. Beast of burden would be amazing. To have 10 is crazy. It puts a person in a place of power and prestige. But check this out. He says, I'm on my way to try them out. What? I mean, like, this would be going on Craigslist and getting one of those. I've just kind of, like, recently seen these kind of amazing muscle. It's a Camaro, maybe? Like a rebirth of that? I don't know. GM people? I don't know if that's what it is. Just an amazing car. Or maybe it's an Escalade. You see it on Craigslist, and you go, and you know, it says it's for $10,000, and you say, wow, 2019, I'll buy it. And you don't go ask any questions. So this person goes, and he gets the oxen, and it's as if he is planning for power and prestige, but not really knowing whether or not that will be there. And finally, someone says, well, I just got married. Well, yeah, you know, honeymoon. Back in that time, there was an expectation that you'd start producing kids right away. So, yeah, this seems like a legitimate excuse. But again, it's looking at relationships, depending on relationships, that are moving and developing into the future. So what we see is a group of people who say to the host, I'd come to your banquet, but I'm counting on something better. You know, I can't even really be sure of what's happening, but I'm counting on something better. I'm going to wait it out. This banquet was set and ready for them, a great feast. And they decided to look in another place. So what we read is that the owner comes angry and sends out, and I love this, sends the servant out first into the streets and to the alleys. So it'd be like, go out to Grand River, and then go to the dead-end streets here in town. Go everywhere where there's traffic and not, and get the people who are incapacitated, those who are blind, those who are lame. Just bring everybody in. And when there was still room at the table, he says, go out, and I mean, these are the translations, go out to the highways, like get out of town, go out to the highways, to go to 96 and go to 23, go to all of these places, and pull people in, and go to the country lanes. Go to those quiet subdivisions where people get mad if you go over 25. Oh, I'm talking about mine. Go to those places and get everyone, the outsiders, the people on the edge, and bring everyone in. This is the picture of a banquet, of abundance, of a full house, and it is God's reign. You know, we talk about the reign of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and we think about this place of wonder and light that will be for us someday. You know, we'll sit on a cloud, the angels will sing, it's going to be fabulous. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be praying it a little bit later. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, do you remember what it says? It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? And then what comes next? Thy kingdom come. It's like every week we pray that the reign of God will not be bounded by heaven, but will come here. And in our tradition, we understand that the reign of God is now. It is not just kind of in a place in the future, but it is now. We can look at this parable of this very grateful host, and we can be reminded that God is present now, expecting that God's reign will be lived out by God's people. The church becomes a table. And at that table, there are many seats, and there is abundance, and there is enough. And even if we're crammed in elbow to elbow, there is still room for people, and I would say even room for people who are not like us, that may not look like us. that may have a different political party than we do. There is room for everybody at the table. And so, if we're going to be thinking about the church as a table, it might be interesting to think about how that might be played out in real life. And it reminds me of a story I heard just this week, and so I want to tell you this story. There's a woman named Maggie Kane, and I heard this story from Reverend Scott Phillips, who is the pastor at First Presbyterian Church next door. Every once in a while, we go out to lunch, trade stories, talk about you. It's great. And so Pastor Scott, before he came to serve here in Brighton, was a pastor at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Maggie was a church member. She'd grown up in that church, and she had experienced the missions of that church and its ministries of mercy. So she was very familiar with working in soup kitchens and giving people food and caring for people who were on the margins. Through her college years, she did the same. And when it came time to pick a career, she went into nonprofit work. But one day she came to Pastor Scott and she said, "I'm just not thinking I'm in the right place." And he said to her, "You can do whatever you want. What is it that you really want to do?" And she said, "I'd like to run a restaurant, but I'd like it to be a pay-as-you-can restaurant." He said, "All right, okay, so what are you going to need?" Well, she was going to need some startup money to start this restaurant. So they went to different churches, Presbyterian churches. She did some research. She went and visited some of these restaurants. So can you imagine, okay, if someone came, she'd go to the church, the congregation, she'd say, "Okay, so I just need your money to start this restaurant, and what I'm thinking is 80% of the people will pay and 20% won't, and it'll all work out." Well, you know, people thought, like, "Give me your business plan. What kind of plan is that?" It's like, it's based on faith. It's based on believing that there might be something, but what if there isn't something? Then it will fail. But she was able to get enough startup money, and so January of 2018, she started this restaurant. It's in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. She called it A Place at a Table from a song that is in the Presbyterian hymnal. And I'll read one of the lines from the song. "For everyone born a place at the table, for everyone born clean water and bread, a shelter, a space, a safe place for growing, for everyone born a star overhead." It's a lovely idea. So she opened this restaurant, and the restaurant just serves breakfast and lunch, and the meals are $5 to $10, and people, when they come, the wait staff say something like this: "You can pay the price that's in the menu. You can pay more if you like. You can pay less. You don't have to pay anything at all, and you can have this meal. And if you want to work for your meal, you can do that. For a meal, it's an hour of labor, washing dishes, helping with the restaurant." And the restaurant has been going since January of 2018. Now, another choice that she gives customers is to pay it forward, to buy a token for $10, throw it in the jar, or actually take it with you and give it to someone. And the people coming into the restaurant who do not have money can quietly take one of the tokens out of the jar and use that to pay for their meal. And so people now come, people that have had to wait in food lines to get a meal that is always the same. You know, for those of us who've worked to give out food, you know, you kind of, everyone gets the same. And then you sit at a table, and sometimes for people, they have to move along quickly because other people have to come to the table and take their seats so there's enough room. And so now people can go to her restaurant, even if they have nothing, and they can sit down and look at a menu and have a choice. They can also sit and relax and enjoy conversation. And relationships have been born in that restaurant. I think about the table that Jesus talked about in the parable of the great banquet. Go get everyone. Go get people that you don't know. Go get people that I don't know their stories, and I don't know what will happen if I give them food. I don't know what will happen in the space where I give them food, and I don't know what their futures will be, but I have a table set, and I want them to come. It's an amazing and powerful idea to think about coming to a table. It's risky. Will you have enough? It's risky because you don't know who will come, but it's the risk that we take if this church is a table. By our prayers, our presence, our financial gifts, by our witness, by our service to one another, we set a table all the time. And we expect people to come, and we invite people to come. The table of Christ is not ours, but we get to be the host of the great banquet and invite people forward. So people get these tokens, and you got to ask, why in the world would you do this? Because let's say you just buy one of these tokens for $10 and you throw it in the bowl. You will never see the outcome. You're not going to see who gets the meal. You're not going to hear their story. You're not going to have a connection. And I would suggest that the reason that people get these tokens, it's because they expect that by the gift, they will raise the community of Raleigh, North Carolina. They may not exactly understand how it will work, but they will raise up the community. The same is true for us. When we give in service, we help build houses in Rio Bravo, Mexico. We're not going to see people living in them. When we offer our financial gifts, we're not going to see how that's used. We're not going to be able to name all the people, even people that are in the other three worship services of this church. But when we give those gifts, what we do, our intention is to lift the community. So in this restaurant today, they are able to give away 30 to 50 meals a day, free meals. Now, you may be saying, how in the world do you do that and make money? Because that seems to be like more people getting than giving. But what happened is between January of 2018 and January of 2019, people paid forward for other people's meals $136,000. They just kept giving it. And they gave it for people they would never meet. They gave it because they knew it would change a life. We tend to Christ's table. And at this table, at this church, we feed the mind, the body, the spirit. Our food is worship and prayer. It's music and it's service. It's compassionate care. It's all that we do in this place. And it's things that we may never see. I don't know all the stories of people and the decisions they've made based on worship in this space, but I know enough. I know people who have come to know Jesus Christ as adults here and been baptized. I know people who have recommitted to care for their families in new ways. I have met people who, through the ministry here, have turned their lives by the power of Jesus Christ and gone in a different way. These prayer quilts that we give out over 100 a year. I've seen over 1,000 prayer quilts go out of this building. Think about the amount of prayer and power that has for people. We have fed the hungry. We have built homes. We have clothed those in need of clothing. We put the doors on the tiny homes that are being built down in Detroit. We may not see all of the people that benefit on a regular basis, but trust me, powerful things are happening. We may be the person who can just take a handful of those tokens and say, I'll give you the money, put them in. Or we may be the person who says, I can put in what I use, I can do that. Or we may be the person who says, I got to take a token from someone else now because that's where I am in my life. But I would say, just like the restaurant place at the table, there's a place for every single one of us at this table. Some of us, by the grace of God, can support in generosity. Others of us are just here to be lifted up. But in all of it, Christ is powerfully present. And so, if there was a challenge today, it would simply be this. Celebrate being the church and make the table bigger. Make the table bigger by invitation, by generosity, by understanding that while we might know all the stories, by your commitment to Christ, the community is lifted and the Spirit is true and heading where it needs to be. We serve up grace here. We serve up transformation. And we expect that the reign of God is not something far away. It is right now. And it is in this place. And we celebrate it. This table is small. This small table. And it's a meager meal by traditional standards, right? It's just a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice. But this table is powerful. Because it's a place we come and we're all connected. We come together around because it is the table of Christ. And so, when we finished prayer, I'm going to invite you to the table. And I remind everyone here that this is the table of Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to us. We don't make the rules. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you are in your faith. Christ is present for you in this place, and you can come forward. What we're doing today is you take a piece of bread and you dip it into the grape juice. If you prefer gluten-free wafers and separate grape juice, we have that too for people who need that. But invite everyone to come. The ushers will show you coming. And then as you come, the ushers are going to be holding the plates out on the aisles. And so I invite you to come forward to the table and offer your connection cards, that commitment to connect with this community on a weekly basis. Offer the yellow card saying, I'm here and I need prayer, or someone I love needs prayer. Offer your offering, and if you're able, if not, no. And if you're one of those electronic fund transfer people, there are those little green cards you can pull out and throw that in. And if you haven't yet and you are a part of this community, I invite you to offer a gift for 2020, a commitment, so that we might continue to be a place where God blesses and transforms, a place at the table. So let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for our place at the table. Sometimes we've taken it for granted. We know that when we show up, it'll be ready for us, so we'll get there. Sometimes we've taken it for granted, forgetting how special it is and seeing it simply as duty to come. How remarkable it is that you invite us again and again to the table, and that your table's so big, surprising us by the guests who have gathered, surprising us by the amount of love and grace and mercy and transformation. And we ask, Lord, that we might lean in now fully to your table. That at it, we might know the promise of your Spirit's presence. That we might be reminded of your food. That we might be reminded that your sacrifice to bring us into community was greater than we can imagine. And that you did it out of love for us. In this time of prayer, there are lots of burdens that we carry. Some are very close to home. So we pray for the family members in our lives that perhaps aren't making good choices right now. We pray for friends that are lost. We pray for people we know who are in chronic pain. Pain of body, pain of heart. We pray for the lonely. And we pray for those that Jesus would say, come to the table. That they're getting an invitation, if not from someone else, from us. And Lord, we pray for this greater world. That everyone would have a place at the table. And they would be welcomed and comforted. We pray for a world where there is great pain and turmoil. And stories of war and suffering. And we ask that by your wisdom you might come, speak through your faithful people, and bring your peace. We cry out for your peace. And we pray, Lord, also that you might strengthen us to be hosts, to send out the invitation, and to bring people to our tables, into our circle of life, so that we might be a blessing, a place for healing, a place for peace, a place of grace. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, and now take a moment to lift to you our individual prayers. And Lord, now hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, expecting your reign now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.